Chapter 8. I will fear no evil. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Psalm 23:4. We began here. 7 chapters ago, you opened this book, perhaps in a hospital room, perhaps in a house that has grown too quiet, perhaps in a chair beside a bed where someone you love is sleeping the restless sleep of a body that is very tired. You opened it carrying the full weight of the valley, and the first thing you read was this. You didn't choose this. That is still true. Nothing in these pages has changed what is happening. The diagnosis has not reversed. The treatments have not suddenly started working again. The valley is still the valley, and the shadow is still the shadow. And the long, slow ache of watching someone you love walk toward the end of their life on this earth, or of being the one who is walking, has not lifted because you read a book. But you are not where you started. You have walked through 7 chapters of the valley with the shepherd, and even if you cannot see it clearly yet, the ground beneath your feet has been changing. The entrance to the valley is behind you. You have been moving through it, not around it, not over it, but through it, the way David said you would. And the same psalm that opened this book has one more thing to say before it is finished. The table. David did something extraordinary in the 5th verse of the 23rd psalm. Without transition, without explanation, the imagery shifted. For 4 verses, he had been walking through a valley with a shepherd. And then, suddenly, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, you have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Psalm 23:5, a table. In the valley. In the presence of enemies. Not after the enemies are defeated. Not once the valley is behind him. Right here. Right now. In the middle of everything that is still threatening, still pressing, still dark, God prepares a table. This is not a picture of escape. It is a picture of provision in the midst of what has not yet ended. The enemies are still present. The valley may not yet be behind you. The shadow has not fully lifted. And God sets a table. What does that look like in a hospital room? It looks like the conversation you did not expect to have, the one where laughter came from somewhere and surprised you both. It looks like the friend who showed up with food and stayed long enough to sit, but not so long that it became exhausting. It looks like the morning you opened your Bible out of habit more than hunger, and a verse you have read 100 times said something you had never heard before. It looks like the nurse who treated him with dignity when dignity felt like the last thing left. It looks like the prayer that finally broke through the ceiling, not because the answer changed, but because the presence became undeniable. The table is not the end of the valley. It is grace inside the valley. It is God saying, "You are still here, and so am I, and before we take the next step, sit down. Eat. Let me show you that I have not forgotten you." David said his cup overflowed. Not merely filled, overflowed. There is a kind of abundance that has nothing to do with circumstances and everything to do with the character of the one who is providing. You have seen that abundance, even here. You may not have called it that. You may have called it a good day or a better night or he seemed like himself for a few hours. But those moments were not accidents. They were the table. They were the oil on your head. They were the cup running over in the presence of enemies that have not yet left the room. What follows? And then David said the most audacious thing in the entire psalm. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6, surely. Not hopefully. Not possibly. Not if things go well, surely. David looked back over the valley, the shadow, the fear, the rod and the staff, the table in the presence of enemies, and his conclusion was not, I survived. His conclusion was that goodness and loving kindness had been following him the entire time. The Hebrew word translated follow does not mean to walk quietly behind. It means to pursue, to chase. It is the same word used for pursuing an enemy in battle, for hunting, for chasing something down with determination and intent. David said that goodness and loving kindness were not merely accompanying him through life. They were chasing him, running him down. pursuing him with a relentlessness that matched the relentlessness of the valley itself. You may not feel pursued by goodness right now. The valley has a way of narrowing your vision until all you can see is the next step, the next appointment, the next difficult conversation. But David's testimony was not based on what he could see in the moment. It was based on what he knew about the shepherd, the same shepherd who had walked with him through the shadow, who had armed himself with a rod and a staff, who had prepared a table before the enemies were gone, who had never once left his side. Goodness and loving kindness have been following you too. Through every chapter of this valley. Through the diagnosis and the treatments and the hospital stays. Through the 3 and 3 morning fear and the silence that felt like abandonment. Through the days when your body would not do what you told it, and the days when caregiving took everything you had and asked for more. Through the unanswered questions and the well-meaning friends who tried to answer them anyway. Through all of it, not in front of you where you could see them clearly, but behind you, where pursuing things run, where you can only see them when you stop and look back. And then the final line. The destination. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And not visit, dwell. The Hebrew word means, and I will return and I will remain. It carries the sense of coming home to a place you belong and never leaving again. This is not a temporary stay. This is not another tent. This is the building from God, eternal, in the heavens, not made with hands, 2 Corinthians 5:1. The dwelling place Jesus spoke of in the upper room the night before he died. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you, John 14:2, forever. The word that answers the valley. The valley is temporary. Forever is not. The shadow passes. The dwelling remains. The separation that the valley imposes, between husband and wife, between the living and the dead, between the way things were and the way things are, that separation has an expiration date. But the dwelling in the house of the Lord does not. For the one who goes first. Mark, this chapter and this book has been walking toward something, and it is time to say it plainly. You are not walking toward an ending. You are walking toward a beginning. The body that has carried you through every year of your life is failing. You know this better than anyone, because you are the one living inside it, and you feel the difference between what you could do a year ago and what you can do today. That loss is real, and it is grievous, and no one should minimize it by rushing past it to get to the hope. Your body has served you faithfully, and the slow betrayal of it is one of the heaviest things a person can carry. But you are not the tent, 2 Corinthians 5:1. You have never been the tent. The tent is what you live in, not what you are. And when the canvas finally gives way, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, 1 Corinthians 15:53-54, what is waiting is not another tent. It is a building from God, eternal in the heavens. What is sown in weakness will be raised in power. What goes into the ground as a seed will come up as something that bears no resemblance to what was planted, the way an oak bears no resemblance to the acorn it grew from. The crossing itself, the step between here and there, is the one part of the journey Scripture does not describe in detail. And that silence used to trouble me until I realized what fills it. Jesus said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise," Luke 23:43. Paul said that to depart and be with Christ is very much better, Philippians 1:23. To be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:8. The details of the crossing are not revealed, but the one who meets you on the far side is fully revealed. He is the same shepherd who has been walking with you through every step of this valley. The same one whose rod and staff have been protecting and guiding you. The same one who prepared a table for you in the presence of enemies. He does not hand you off to someone else at the threshold. He is already there. He has been through it himself. He knows the way because he is the way, John 14:6. And the first thing that will be gone, the very first thing, is the pain. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Revelation 21:4. Not reduced. Not managed, gone. And notice the intimacy of that promise. He will wipe away every tear. Personally, the God of the universe, who holds the sea in its boundaries and calls the stars by name, will wipe the tears from your face the way a father wipes the tears from his child's. You will fear no evil. Not because evil is not real, but because the shadow cannot harm you. It never could. A shadow requires a light source behind it, and the light behind this shadow is brighter than anything the valley has shown you. For the one who remains, Bonnie, when that day comes, the house will be very quiet. There is no way around that sentence, and this book has promised from the beginning not to walk around things but through them. The chair beside the bed will be empty. The routines that have structured your days, the medications, the appointments, the conversations with nurses, the drive to the hospital, and the drive home will stop. And in the space where all of that was, there will be silence. And in the silence, the grief will come in waves that no one who has not stood in that exact place can fully understand. You will not grieve as one who has no hope, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But you will grieve. And the grieving will not be brief, because the love was not small. Jacob mourned many days, Genesis 37:34. David composed a lament and ordered it taught to the people, 2 Samuel 1, verses 17 and 18. Jesus wept at the tomb of a man he was about to raise from the dead, John 11:35. The God who made you to love deeply does not expect you to lose deeply without feeling the full weight of it. Your tears are not a failure of faith. They are the proof of what he meant to you, and that proof honors both the man and the God who made him. But you will not be alone. The third strand holds, Ecclesiastes 4:12. It held before the valley, it has held through the valley, and it will hold after the valley. The cord of three strands does not unravel when one strand is taken, because the third strand was always the strongest. He will be with you in the first morning and the second morning and the 100th morning. He will be with you when the well-meaning people have gone back to their own lives, and the cards have stopped coming, and the world has moved on in the way the world always does. He will be with you at 3 in the morning when the house is dark and the absence is loudest. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit, Psalm 34:18. The Hebrew translates as, right beside you. In the chair beside the bed. In the car on the way home. In the kitchen on the first morning, when the coffee is for one. And there is a promise that belongs to you, as specifically as the resurrection promise belongs to him. Isaiah said it, and it has not expired. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles, they will run and not get tired, they will walk and not become weary. Isaiah 40:31. You may never feel like an eagle again. You may not run. But if you walk and do not grow weary, if you get up tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that, and you keep putting one foot in front of the other in a world that has fundamentally changed, that is the eagle's promise dressed in ordinary clothes. That is not failure. That is the quietest and most persistent form of victory that faith produces. And it is enough through. The word that has carried this book from the first page to the last is the smallest word in the psalm, through. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, through means there is another side. The valley is not a destination. It is a passage. It has an entrance and it has an exit. For one of you, the exit leads to the house of the Lord, the dwelling place, the building not made with hands, the place where every tear is wiped away and pain is not reduced but gone. For the other, the exit leads to a different kind of life on this side of eternity. A life marked by the valley, changed by it permanently, but not defined by it. Because the same psalm that describes the valley also describes what is on the other side. Goodness and loving kindness, pursuing you with a relentlessness you did not ask for and cannot outrun. Both exits lead to the same home. The timing is different. The path is different. But the shepherd is the same, and the destination is the same. And the forever in the last line of the psalm is the same forever for both of you. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6. You have walked through the valley of the shadow of death. You have walked through the silence and found that silence was not absence, that the God who seemed far away was closer than the breath in your lungs, closer than the hand holding yours across the hospital bed. You have walked through the failing of the body and found that you are not the tent, that the canvas is temporary, but what it carries is eternal. You have walked through the exhaustion and the anticipatory grief and the guilt that had no right to be there, and you have walked and not fainted, and that is the eagle's promise, and it was always enough. You have walked through the unanswered questions and found that the God who did not explain himself to Job stepped into the furnace instead, and that his presence was the answer to the question behind all the other questions. You have walked through the intersection of grief and hope and found that they are not enemies, that you can hold the devastation in one hand and the promise in the other, and neither one cancels the other out. And you have arrived here, not at the end of the pain, not with every question answered, not with a theology that makes the valley make sense, but with a shepherd. The same one who was with you at the entrance is with you now. The rod and the staff have not been set down. The table has been prepared. The cup has overflowed. Goodness and loving kindness have been chasing you the whole way, even when you could not see them, even when the shadow was so dark that you could not see anything at all. The valley is real. The shadow is real. The grief is real. And so is he. And that is enough. This has been Through the Valley: What God Says When the Shadow is Real, by Paul Heinlein, published by Noble Mind Press.